Good morning. Today is our fifth Lenten prayer service. Our theme for our prayer services is Return to Me, I Desire Your Whole Heart. This week's topic is Pierced by Love, the Call to Change. As we know, love is a powerful thing. Love changes our lives and the lives around us. Many of us have had experiences before where we have felt the love from friends and family, but more importantly is the love from our Heavenly Father. When we come to understand how loved we are, especially by our Creator, that is when we feel the call to change our lives so as to orient everything we do back to Him. This week, our speaker is Father Kaup. Father Ryan Kaup is a 2006 grad from Pius, so his super cool senior picture is in the hallway by the chapel. After attending UNL for 2 years, he felt the call to the seminary through a deep and continual experience of God's piercing love. He was ordained a priest in 2015 and has served in Lincoln, Hastings, and Nebraska City. He is currently the pastor of the Newman Center at UNL.
So guys, yeah, it's great to be back here. As Jackson said, I'm a 2006 grad of Pius, and so yeah, my senior picture's in the hallway. I kind of look like a tool, so you can go look at it later, make fun of me if you want. I also taught here from 2015 to 2018, so I taught some of your siblings. I actually taught some of the teachers who work here now, so I'm getting old, and it's just great to be back. If you need any dirt on me, there's a lot of teachers who have been around here a while, and they can tell you some stories. But when they asked me to come today, and they gave me this topic, right? There's like each week just has a different topic, and today is Pierced by Love, the Call to Change. So obviously we're in the fifth week of Lent. Next week, a week from today, is Good Friday, and then it's Holy Saturday, and then it's Easter Sunday, right? So we're on the end part of Lent, and we look at this idea of being pierced by love, and so the first thing that should come to mind is that image right over there, right under Pius, right? Pius X, is the crucifix, right? Because that's what we're walking towards right now. And if we want to have an image of what it looks like to be pierced by love, well, it's right there, right? It's Jesus, who's hanging on the cross, who's literally pierced, like through his hands and his feet and his side. That's what it looks like to be pierced by love. But if our faith is going to mean anything to us, then it doesn't just like stay on that wall, and it doesn't just happen to Jesus, but he actually invites us into that same mystery. And so what does it mean to be pierced by love? What does it look like for me and for you to experience that kind of love that Jesus pours out on the cross and that he experienced from his Father? That's what we want to take a look at today. So like I said, I graduated from here in 2006, and then I went to University of Nebraska, Lincoln. And like a lot of you, like I grew up Catholic. I went to Mass every Sunday with my family. Had great teachers all along the way and who really like planted seeds of the faith. But if I look back on those days, especially like towards the end of high school, like I really had two goals. These are my two goals in life. Number one was to have a good time. That's all I wanted, right? Just to have a good time. And number two was to belong somewhere. So I wanted those two things, right? And I think if you're honest with yourself, like there's probably a lot of us who have those desires in our heart, right? Like, I just want to enjoy life. I just want to have a good time. And deeper, maybe, I really want to belong somewhere. And so all of my decisions, all of the things that I did were based off those two goals, and I made steps to achieve those goals, to have a good time and to belong somewhere. Well, when I went to college, I wanted to get as far away from Nebraska as possible, but I ended up going to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln through some providential scholarships and things that made me stay here, and you can see God's hand in it all looking back. But it was there where I really began these two goals of just wanting to have a good time and wanting to belong, like really came to the surface, and I was making choices that weren't in accord with God's will because I didn't really care about the morality of how those two things came about. Until one day when I found myself in this place of just like, I am miserable. I am freaking miserable. What the heck do I do? I still have these goals and I still have these desires, but like, where do I do? Where do I go? And so I remembered like all of those seeds that had been planted through Catholic school for like, whatever, 15 years. And I remember people continually saying to me like, if you want to be happy and if you want to know you're loved, like you got to have God in your life. You have to have God in your life. Okay, so what did I do? Well, I said, might as well give it a try, right? I'm miserable. So I went and I found the Newman Center, now where I'm the pastor, because I knew that was a Catholic church on campus, and I went there and I just kind of started hanging around. went to a couple events, and to be honest, at first they were like really lame, and I didn't want to be there. But little by little by little, I began to experience something there. I began to experience joy, and I began to experience a fulfillment of those desires in like a real intangible way. And it really came through the challenge of someone who came up to me and said, "What the heck are you doing with your life?" And I said, "What do you mean? How dare you ask me that question? What are you doing with your life?" He said, "Because you're making all these decisions that are making you miserable." And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" "Yeah, you're right. What am I supposed to do about it, though?" He said, "Why don't you come tomorrow to our holy hour that we have every morning and just come and pray?" Like I said, I had nothing else to do, and I had kind of run out of options, and so I said, okay. So I went. I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, I'd done holy hours and done adoration here, but I was there in that chapel, and it wasn't the first day, and it wasn't the second day, and it wasn't the third day, but as I began to pray more and more and was faithful to that time, I began to experience that actually that little white host, that person that's actually on the altar, actually loved me and actually cared about my stuff. What I began to experience is that all of the stuff that I'd gone through, all of the decisions that I'd made, all of the pain and all of the wounds and all the stuff that came along with it, that actually God actually cared. That God gave a crap about what was going on inside of me. And not only did he care just a little bit, but he loved me so much that he wanted to fill every part of my heart with his love. That he actually cared. And he drew me inward, and he drew me deeper, and he drew me deeper into friendship. Eventually, what this does is it leads me to go to the seminary, which is an idea that I had never had my entire life. I'd never thought about being a priest ever. But as I began to experience that God actually cared about me, I began to say, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do. And ideas of the priesthood continued to come into my head when I would go pray, and so it eventually led me there. But as we know that like life's not super easy, right? And so I started this journey with the Lord. I started walking with God, and I started doing things like, praying every day, and I started making Sunday Mass like my number one priority, and I started even going to daily Mass, and like my life started to change, and I found community and that desire to actually have a good time. I actually found that it wasn't just about having a good time, but what I really wanted was the abundant life. I wanted a life that was different, that was full of joy, and living in community with people at the Newman Center actually gave that to me, and I began to experience a different way of living. And so all these things are like super awesome. And through my second semester, my freshman year of college, and into the summer, like I really strove to stay close to Jesus. But life's hard. Life throws us curveballs along the way. And so August of the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of college, I was at home. I had worked that summer and was doing things and family vacation, all the normal stuff. But in August of that year, I was just, in my bedroom, like kind of waking up. And I heard my mom knock on the door, and she came in. And she was, I can tell she was like teary. My mom cries a lot, so I was like, not really, whatever, but I could tell this was something different. And she sat down in my bed, and she said, "Ryan, your cousin, Christy, died in a car accident last night. She was on her way back from a party, and something happened, and she died." And in that moment, something shifted in my heart, because I was on this journey of faith as like a 19-year-old kid, and I began to experience God's love for me, but then this happens, right? And maybe some of you have been in this place, right, where you're like, okay, I hear God is love, and God loves me. Well, then why do these things happen? Why do these horrible things that just pierce my heart and destroy me, why do they happen? And I really began to wrestle with it. And I was so mad at God. I was so mad. Like, I quit going to church. I quit praying. I was like, I can't handle this. Why would a loving God allow this to happen? But slowly but surely, through really good friends, they encouraged me to actually ask that question. So often we stay trapped in our own anger, and we don't present these things to the Lord. But they said, actually ask God that question. God, what are you doing here? What's going on? And what I did was actually like I showed my heart to God. And I showed my heart to God with these wounds that were now there. That my faith had grown and my faith was like maturing, and yet there was this huge pain right there. God, why would you allow this to happen to my cousin, to my family? What I experienced there is when I actually could take my pain, take my sorrow, take these wounds to the Lord, I experienced God again, that he cared. That he cared in a real and powerful way. And that those wounds, that pain, began to be filled with his love and his glory and his grace. And eventually, not only did it begin to heal, but it actually led me into a deeper communion with God. And friends, that's the good news of the gospel, right? Like, this is what God offers us. This is what Jesus offers to us. Because it's not just about Jesus dying on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's not just about, like, doing what's right and going to Mass on Sunday. It's about becoming new creatures. Like, that is what God tells us, that your life can be different. Your life can be created once again. You can be renewed and transformed. That's the gospel message of Catholicism, that your heart can be new. And yes, sometimes it comes in really painful ways. And yes, sometimes it comes through having to, like, look at our stuff. But if we have the courage and ask for the grace to be able to do that and to take it to him, he pours his grace there and his love there. And that our wounds, that the things that have pierced our heart, actually become moments of friendship with God. But so often, instead of taking things to God, what we do is we look at our wounds and we just try and, like, stuff them with gauze, right? So you, like, imagine, like, this big gaping wound, and, like, I'm going to stop it from bleeding on my own, and I'm just going to shove it full of gauze. We do that in a million different ways, right? Like, just trying to, like, fill up the emptiness in our hearts and trying to make the pain go away. Name your favorite sin. That's what you're doing. You're shoving those wounds with gauze, all of us. And whatever sin it may be, that's ultimately what we're doing, because what we're doing is that we're saying, God, I don't want to wait for you. I want this pain to go away right now, and this sin just gives me, like, just a really easy way to do it. So I'm going to grasp for it. I'm going to fill it. But God is there and he's patient. And if we can have the courage to say, I'm not gonna do this on my own, and I'm not gonna shove these wounds full of gauze, but I'm just gonna let them be open and take them to God, what does he do? He pours his glory in. And he pours his love in. And we begin to experience a new way of living that we never thought was possible. And so right now, I don't know most of you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know that life throws all of us these curveballs. And I know that life affects all of us in these ways. And so it's having the courage to be able to stand before the Lord and say, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm hurting. This is where my pain is. And trusting enough that God can satisfy those deepest longings in my heart and pour his grace there. One of my favorite quotes of all time comes from St. Augustine, this man who knew sin really well, right? He lived, like, a pretty eclectic life. But he came to know God, and he began to understand that all the things that he was searching for his whole life were found and fulfilled in God. And the quote that I love from him is, he said that when I looked in my deepest wound, I saw your glory. I saw God's glory. And it dazzled me. In my deepest wound, I saw your glory, and it dazzled me. That, like, actually in those places, if we have the courage to look at them, if we have the courage to share them with someone who can walk with us, if we can show them to God, what does he do? He transforms them. And they become moments of grace and truth and joy and peace. And so today, as we're called to be pierced by love, this call to change, the call isn't just to reject sin, but the call to change is to embrace the abundant life that Jesus offers us. That your life doesn't have to just be mediocre. That you don't just have to, like, stumble through the motions and say, gosh, I got to get up another day. That life could be something full of joy. So a couple reflection questions for you guys to take with you, and just to, I don't know, maybe carry you through the rest of Lent. I encourage you to these next couple weeks, to really intentionally walk this final week of Lent. So where do you currently feel God's love in your life? Where is he active? Where do you experience him? Where do you experience him calling you into deeper, closer, and higher into his love? That's a place to go, right? Because so often we focus on the places God isn't, and we get frustrated instead of focusing on the places where God is. So focus where God is and let him lead you there. Where do you currently feel his love, and go deeper there? And then number two, what prevents you from giving yourself completely over to his love? Are you able to surrender that obstacle to him in these final weeks of Lent, this final week? So those things where you're like, yeah, this all sounds fine, but what about this? That's the thing to give to God in this last week. There's nothing too big for God, and there's nothing too scary for God, that he can pour his love there. So we'll close in prayer, and I just invite you to think about those two questions just in the back of your head as we bring this before the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus saw a man lying there outside of the temple, and he knew he'd been ill for a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Jesus, we ask for the grace today to not be afraid, to just come to you exactly as we are, to not be afraid, to have the courage to trust in you, to leave our excuses behind, to believe that you can truly invite us into the abundant life, that our lives can be ones of fulfillment and joy, and even amidst the trials, that you can use those for your glory. Help us see your love and help us to see you everywhere. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good night.